Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Critical Care Revision Aid Podcast, Episode 3, Ventilator Weaning.
What is weaning?
Weaning is the process of liberation from the ventilator, which is achieved through the reduction of mechanical ventilatory support. The aim is to reach spontaneous ventilation with minimal support to allow safe extubation. Weaning can be classified as simple, difficult, or prolonged. Simple weaning describes cases where patients are extubated after their first spontaneous breathing trial. Difficult weaning accounts for around 30% of extubations and refers to cases where the patients require up to 3 spontaneous breathing trials prior to extubation or take as long as 7 days to be able to be extubated. Prolonged weaning, around 10% of cases, occurs when patients exceed the limits of difficult weaning.
What factors are associated with difficult or prolonged weaning?
There are many causes of difficult or prolonged weaning, and many may coexist in the same patient. In the respiratory system, increased resistance, for example due to bronchospasm or secretion load, reduced lung compliance as a result of the underlying disease, for example pneumonia, pleural effusions, pulmonary edema, or abdominal distension, or increased ventilatory requirement, for example in shock, metabolic acidosis, or sepsis, can all lead to difficulty in weaning respiratory support. Neuromuscular conditions are important. The pathology may be primary, for example, in Guillain-Barré syndrome, or secondary, for example, critical illness polyneuropathy, and the resulting weakness leads to poor respiratory muscle function. Electrolyte abnormalities may also contribute to muscle weakness. Other factors which may contribute to difficulty weaning include nutritional deficiencies, malnutrition, and anemia.
How would you approach the process of weaning a patient from mechanical ventilation?
The first step in the process would be to assess the readiness for weaning and extubation. This involves both clinical assessment and objective measurements of physiological state. Clinical assessment would focus on ensuring the underlying cause of illness has been treated or has improved sufficiently to allow for weaning. Patients should have an adequate cough and a manageable secretion load. Factors such as analgesia requirements, bowel function, and metabolic state should be optimised as far as possible. Objectively, patients should be hemodynamically stable with no or low vasoactive support. They should have low oxygen requirements, typically an FiO2 of less than 50% and a peak of less than 10 centimetres of water, with a PaO2 to FiO2 ratio of greater than 200. A respiratory rate of less than 35, tidal volumes of more than 5 mL per kilo, and a rapid shallow breathing index of less than 105 are all parameters which would be consistent with successful weaning. If the patient is assessed as ready for weaning and can be predicted to be successfully weaned, a spontaneous breathing trial can be attempted. The SBT originally involved disconnecting the patient from the ventilator and connecting a T-piece circuit. However, now we often leave the ventilator connected with CPAP and tube compensation continued to help maintain the FRC and reduce unnecessary work of breathing. SBTs for 30 and 120 minutes are equivalent in determining readiness for extubation. However, patients who fail an SBT initially may benefit from slower weaning through increasing duration of SBT over a period of time. Both respiratory and cardiovascular signs are looked at to assess success or failure of an SBT in conjunction with the blood gases. In general, tachypnea, tachycardia, dysrhythmia, hypoxia, or hypercarbia are all considered indications of failure of the SBT. Signs such as agitation, sweating, and increased respiratory effort also indicate failure. If the patient successfully completes an SBT, they can proceed to extubation, provided they are neurologically ready for extubation and there are no concerns around airway protection.